think they're going to be, everybody's making bread pudding. It's the bread and milk's flying off the shelves right now. So it must be what everybody's planning on doing, making bread pudding. I don't know. That's what you do when it gets cold. It has this door. But kind of was used to that up in Missouri. Winter storm coming. You go to the grocery store and you couldn't find a loaf of bread, hardly. So, and here's the thing. It ain't what a day or two you can go back to the store. So, but I think we got to stop at the store when we're home tonight, Cindy said. But make sure we got bread and milk. We don't even drink milk. We're going to get some anyway. Because that's what you're supposed to do, you know. He thought that was funny. Then he says, Tally. Says, Tally's going to go home and make chicken and dumplings. Cause he, it's good, you know, something. That's an inside joke there. It's good to be home. Was gone for, I think, left on Wednesday, got back on Sunday. Gone 3 days, but five if you include the days you'd left and come back. So it's quite a adventure while we were gone, but it sure is good. It's always good to go be with family and spend time once a year. You know, it's about all we get to do that with her family, get to see everybody and eat and watch football and eat and watch more football and then eat and watch more football. I think I watch more football in a 2 day span or 3 day span than I've watched all year long football game. Before I left town, I found out that I think I was on my way out of town when I called. I meant to, you know, I don't see good without my glasses, Brother Durham. So Cindy goes, "Hey, what happened with Brother Durham?" So, oh yeah, I did find out. So I seen R something Durham and ended up calling Sister Reva. I thought I was calling Brother Durham. I called Reva Durham on my phone. She told me, "Did you get my text? I texted you." Okay, good. And she told me about Brother Durham. I know y'all heard all that, but that's one thing to be thankful for, you know. But he don't have to go through that and all the side effects of all that that you have to go through. We're speaking half Hebrew and half Ashdod, and all that in your recovery, and and you don't know if you're going to do that, you know. And it's kind of scary to go through something like that. Am I going to have just a speedy recovery? Am I going to have a slow recovery? But you don't even have to have a recovery. They just got to monitor you. And that's good. And I'm thankful for that. And we don't have to. I'm telling you, anytime you go under the anesthesia, it's always kind of scary. But then they're cutting around on your head. That's really scary, you know. There's a lot of integral things goes on up there, you know. It's like... I mean, it sounds funny, but they make, you know, you have a complication there, and it's really complicated, you know. It ain't like you're just, you know, just laid up and you're just hurting, you know, because of complications, but, you know, you're not, it takes a while for the signals to get all connected back to one another, and we don't have to worry about complications because there's no surgery, so that's really, really good. And then Brother Smith had got an ox in a ditch tonight, and something he couldn't walk away from. So, and then my mom texted me and said, "Pray for my grandmother. She's really sick. She's got this trigeminal nerve. If you don't know what it is, look it up on Google. Trigeminal nerve pain. It's so painful you can't really eat much or anything." So that's where my mom is tonight. And Brother Mark is sick and caught some sort of bug up in Springfield. Yeah. every birthday. But Sister Sherry didn't even know how old he was. She didn't even know how old she was. She's, is it that you don't know how old you are? Yeah. She says, well, he's 10 years older than me. So he must be, he goes, no, honey, I'm not that old. It's old man. She goes, well, yeah, I'm not as old as I thought I was. That's pretty good, though, not to be as old as you thought you was. Yeah. Oh, he did. He made you? Okay. Yeah, the whole, yeah. Everybody's seen that, didn't he? I forgot that. So, yeah, she's thankful she's not as old as she thought she was, right? A lot to be thankful for. And I was just looking out here tonight, and, you know, we may or may not, it's hard to tell, we may not have, possibility we might not have church Sunday. You don't know what the weather's going to be, but I haven't been in church in over a week, so I got to come to church tonight, and I don't know what's going to happen this weekend. I just have to watch the weather, make sure, hope nobody loses electricity. I hope they're wrong about all this ice. I don't like ice. I like snow. I like sleet's fine, but ice I don't like. And so we'll just have to be prepared. So what other needs, you know, we'll pray for Mark and Nana, and we'll pray for Sister Pat. You know, she is about the same as probably what y'all heard Sunday. She hasn't eaten in over a week, and she just barely sips a drink or two of water a day, a sip of water or two a day, and that's it. So her body is shutting down, and anybody who's been through this with a cancer patient knows it can take time, and it's rough on the family going through that. So pray for Sister Jenny, and Dwight's her husband's name, the kids up there. Yes.
This is peak season, and they'll be going till the end of December. So pray for them. And then my second request, though, is there was a lady who went to our church when we were in Searcy, and she called my husband this week, and she's been sick and in the hospital, and the doctors have sent her home, told her to get her affairs in order. And so she called him because she wants him to preach her funeral and everything, but I wish you'd just pray that she would have rest, you know, and not pain for these last, I don't know how long she has, not very long, a few days or a week or so. Anyway,
well, what's her name?
Ruby.
Ruby.
Thank you.
All right, Ruby from Searcy. Pray for her. Mr. Durham. Still going through, her sister Helen's still going through chemo. Sister Loris. Keep Brother Sister Crow. Was Brother Sister Crow here Sunday? Good. Good. Brother Al? She what now? Oh, she fell and hurt herself? So I'm praying for Sister Elsie. This is Jerry. And those neck and back is hurting. Okay. Pray for her. Right, Sister McGowan. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Joe and Sister Julie need prayer. And so it was an urgent situation, so pray for them. Just wanted to open it up for everybody tonight to sing, participate, testify, preach, or whatever you feel is laid on your heart. Let's stand, take these. Oh, yeah. It's kind of like with the Durham situation. They looked the test over, seeing that there's no immediate need, but just to monitor her heart for 4 months and take a look and make sure everything's working right so she doesn't have to have surgery. And we're thankful for that, for sure. We thought for sure my wife's going to have to go back up there sometime this month and be in a be with her during surgery, but she didn't have to do that. So we're very glad for that. All right. Yes. Pray for the Perry family, our own Angie, girls. All right, I'm going to take up the ushers, Kim, receive the offering tonight.
Dear Lord, we thank you tonight for everything you've done for us, Lord, for meeting our needs, Lord. We're thankful that Brother Durham didn't have to have surgery. Elder didn't have to have surgery. Thankful for the substance of and the blessings that we receive. You know, none of us here are starving. None of us here, everyone that here has a roof over their head. Each one here had a really true request. And Brother Mark, Pat, Lord, comfort her. Ease her suffering, oh God. Take her, oh God. Sister Dolores, oh God, prepare a family. Oh God, they need your help. Sister Elsie, oh God, dear Jesus. Sister, oh God, dear Lord. Brother Jeff. And Lady Ruby from Searcy, oh God, ask you to comfort her. Heal her, Lord, if it be your will. Oh God, Jesus. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Joe and Julie.
I'd find what I found, contentment and peace from above.
When I leave the house, make sure God keeps his hand on me and all that. And I said, today, I said, Lord, put somebody across my path that I can invite to church. And I said, whether it's Walmart or maybe somebody next to me and driving or whatever, you know. Well, I get home and with the kids, I went to pick them up at school. And I even said that maybe somebody at the school. I pulled in my driveway and there was a car in my house. Nobody else was home, but there was a car there. And I looked, I said, well, I wonder if they're family, because they look like Mexicans. I go, you know, we don't have that many Mexicans around that I know other than family. And I kept looking close. I go, nope, they're not my family, but let me see who they are. So I got out, and they had some pamphlets with them, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I've never seen a Jehovah Witness Mexican, but my first time for everything. So I said, hello. She goes, ¿habla español? ¿Speak Spanish? I go, yes. Well, he said, and he told me in Spanish that he was looking for Mexican-speaking people around the area. He goes, and I happened to see your flag. And we got out and looked, because they were by the fence whenever I got there. And the flag, what it is an Irish flag. And it's got two colors of the Mexican flag, you know, like, and then the only color is different thing is orange, where the Mexican flag is red. Anyway, and I said, sorry. And he said, no, it's okay. My wife is from Ireland, too. You know, I said, well, that's my husband. You know, he's Irish, and, you know, he goes all out with that. Anyway, he said, since you speak Spanish, he said, I speak English, but I prefer, you know, I don't want to lose my Spanish. I said, well, that's fine, because, I, you know, I can use some practice, too. And he said, we want to, you know, talk to you about, you know, going to church. I said, well, before you go any further, I said, I've been going to a church down Colonel Glenn that I'm very, very satisfied and happy. And so I don't want you to waste your time and try to get me to come to yours. But let me tell you, I don't believe in going, missing my church service to go to somebody else's. But if you have church different night, I'll come if you come to mine. He goes, okay, sounds good. I said, well, when do you have service? He said, Tuesday night, 7:30, and Sunday at 1. I said, I'll take Tuesday night, and you can come Wednesday night. And he goes, okay. So we'll see. I have never been to a Jehovah Witness, so y'all pray that, you know, I don't know if anybody here, or if we have anybody that is in the body that, you know how we have Catholics, Baptists, because I was Catholic and Baptist. I don't know if y'all know anybody that has Jehovah Witness that had became, you know, a Holy Ghost person, but... who knows? I know I mean, right away, I didn't think about it. I walked in my, because we were talking out in the driveway. And when I walked in, I go, oh, that was you, Lord, wasn't it? You put somebody across my path. So I invited them to church. So whether they keep their word, you know, I'm going to try to keep my word. But I'm going to ask Brother Smith if that's okay before I go make myself known there. Oh, and by the way, their church is that new church right there in Colonel Glenn also. So anyways, that's all I wanted to get up and share, you know, that God answered a prayer, but in a weird way that, you know, I guess he's testing me.
Well, Jehovah Witnesses come around and visit me, and I invited one of them to church, and he said, we do not visit other churches. So I don't know about the one you talked to, but one I talked to, he said, we just don't believe in visiting other churches. But anyway, I don't want to occupy the seat of the scornful. You know, somebody has got to be in the seat of the scornful. So I told my atheist neighbor, I said, you know, I was telling him about the vastness of space and how awesome all of the bodies and heavenly bodies are, you know, and everything. So he said, sarcastically, he said, God sure was busy during those 7 days. 7 days, wasn't he? So I got a rebuke, I guess, there. But and every time I talk to him about how there's more states approving homosexual marriage, and he just blows that off as, oh, they got their rights, it don't mean anything to him. He just, you know, he just don't mean anything to him as far as morally, you know. But anyway, I was in Little Rock yesterday. I don't have to swear to tell the truth here, but I was in bankruptcy court yesterday at the Bank of America building, and had to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But it was very real foggy yesterday, and I didn't know exactly where the Bank of America building was. And so I stopped and asked this man, and he pointed over here, and I mean, you could barely see the building. It was so foggy. And he said, it's over there. So when I got over there, I didn't realize there were two banks within a couple of blocks of each other. They're both real tall buildings. So I got on this, I was supposed to go to the 12th floor. So I went to the 12th floor. I realized I was in the wrong building. Two ladies were in the hall, and I said, could you tell me how to get to the Bank of America building? And so they were on the 12th floor, and they got on the elevator. They said, let's go get on the elevator. They went all the way to the bottom floor with me, and showed me, went to the door and showed me where it was, you know. And so I said, you two women were so kind to me to go out of your way like that. And I know the truth hurts, you know. I know they didn't mean it as a put down, but one of them said, someday we'll be old too. So. I know I'm getting old, but I don't, you know, it doesn't feel good to be told that, you know. But, you know, I was thinking about, 10 years ago, I filed for bankruptcy on my credit cards, and I didn't learn my lesson. Had to go through that again. Hopefully this time I have learned my lesson, but you know, I got to thinking, you know, it's kind of like spiritually, you know, I got a new start financially. And, you know, I guess some of you, I know I have, I feel like sometimes God has given me a fresh start in the spiritual, you know. Times you get down and discouraged, and the Lord would lift you up. So, anyway, you know, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So, you know, I appreciate Brother Smith letting us have breaks, you know, like last Wednesday and Memorial Day. But after not being in church, last Wednesday, I really was looking forward to being here Sunday, really, especially being here after not being here Wednesday. But like Brother Michael said, we may not be here Sunday if they get this forecast right on the freezing rain. But anyway, I was watching the DVD today of the ministers' meeting we had here. Of course, I didn't get to be in any of the meeting. I was so tired, and after I got through, I just head on to Conway. But you know, I just got to thinking, the Body of Christ ministry has just got such a different ring to it than other preachers, you know. And I just, Brother Smith standing there before all those men of God and just expositing what's wrong with the body and what's wrong among the ministry and what needs to be changed. And I just thought, what a gifted man, you know. What if there wasn't any preacher, there wouldn't be any saints. But I just thought he's such a gifted man, you know, and such a privilege to be under a man like that, and not just him, but all the ministers. But anyway, you know, you remember Brother Tucker, one of his pet, nothing I think offended him like missing church. I know he didn't mean it, but one time he said, I'd rather have you people out sinning than missing church, because if you were here, at least I could preach to you. So, you know, that was really a thing to him. And, you know, I get to thinking, you know, if I was a minister, I guess it would bother me. I mean, if we had 100 or 200 people, you know, it wouldn't make such a difference. But when you've got, like on Wednesday night, just one extra person being here pulling for the Spirit can really help. So I can understand where he's coming from. And I'm just, I just get to thinking, God, I'm not worthy to be here. How did I wind up here? And somehow or another, he got me here, you know, and it's such a privilege to, people go up and down this street, and this is nothing to them, but we know it's a special place. Jacob said it's none other than the house of God. So if I didn't think this was the house of God, I'd just go back. Conway never come back. But I'm just so thankful to be with you people. I'm so thankful that God revealed what he's revealed to me. Through the ministry, I've gotten such an understanding of things, and just so thankful to be here.
I was thinking when Brother Fleming said the seat of the scornful. You know, I was back here and I jokingly said, "Well, I'll set it in there, you know, just for one night only, though, you know." But no, we don't want to do that, you know. I was thinking of the scornful. You know, this, I think the scripture says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, or sitteth." How's it go? The sinners are sitting in the seat of the scornful. Yeah. And scornful, I thought, well, what is a scornful person? Is that like Mr. Scrooge or something like that? You know. What is a scornful person? And I'm not going to tell you because I'm not really sure, but I'm just putting it out as a question. What is a scornful person? What is that? You know, is it? Somebody just chewing the rag all the time, you know. You know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me. I'm going to eat a worm or something, you know. I don't know. You know, I thought, but all I know, it can't be good, can it? So we don't want to sit in that seat. or standeth in the way of sinners, or walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And a lot of people do that, don't they? I mean, this world is going that way, unfortunately. We know Brother Fleming mentioned a certain lifestyle that you almost got to be politically correct to say any, or not say anything about it, you know. And, well, that's ungodly, you know. I thought, well, you know, but that's the way the world's going, isn't it? The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah. You know, these people were just going about doing their own thing, wasn't they? And then until the flood came. And that's the way our life is, this world's winding up again, isn't it? We may have different effects at the end of this world and different type of judgments and of that, but aren't you glad you're in a place that you can skip all that, serve God, find peace in your heart, and highball the grave? I got that from y'all. Brother Nigger always said that. But I'm thankful that I'm thankful God has touched my heart and allowed me to once again come among His people and mingle my wine and give Him a praise. I didn't really have any thought or anything like that. I just wanted to praise God. I think, well, you know, there's no rationale of doing anything. It just, you know, I'm going to do this because of this. I'm gonna, you know, nothing like that. It's just the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise you the Lord. And that's all the answer we need, isn't it? We don't have to, work up, get it all worked up and everything. I mean, you know, that's what you need to do by all means. You know, do that. But the Bible says, just let everything that hath breath praise you the Lord. And, you know, how many ways are there to praise the Lord, you know? It says, praise the Lord in the dance, doesn't it? And praise the Lord on the high-sounding cymbal and with the instruments of stringed instruments. Can't think of another instrument. It's in the organ. Is that what it said? Does it say the tambourine or something like that? Is that a tambourine? Is that what that is? Yeah. And then all kinds of instruments in the Bible. The trumpets will blow, we've heard the trumpets blow spiritually, hadn't we, in this church? And heard some great messages. And I think we're all the better for it. How many believe that tonight? Raise your hand. I'm going to tell you a story that I told a couple of brothers last weekend. You may find this amusing. You may say, I wish that guy just sit down, you know. But however, we'll get through it. I really like music, and there's a song that I've been working on. It's a guitar thing, you know, and the song was really beyond my abilities, quite honestly. You know, it's one of these virtuoso guys that, you know, they can make it cry and sing, you know, at the same time on the guitar, you know. I really wanted to learn that song, you know, and it doesn't, you know, it real no real near real significance about it, but it's just something I wanted to accomplish, you know. It's a goal I set, you know. Kind of like we set goals in here, don't y'all set goals, you know? Well, I'm going to read the Bible in a year, you know. things like that, and you work at that, don't you? And, you know, how many here is a perfect overcomer? Well, you know, I know that's not a truly biblical word, but we know the sense of it. And we kind of work at that and in the spirit of grace. you know, we have those goals. We have goals that we do, and even in natural life and our spiritual life. Because the Bible says it's from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And so, what do you call that? Reciprocal? Is that what that's called when we go from one? Is that right? I might just make that up. Yeah, well, I'll redeem myself somewhere else. I'll just, since I I'll think. It's kind of like, you know, you ever heard some of these brethren, these meetings, they use a great big old word, you know, and everything. You don't know what they're talking about. At least I don't, you know. So I'll get away from that. But, I was working on this song. And took a while to do this, you know. I'd practice it when I had time, you know, every other night, or if I had that much time. And it was just a goal I had set, and I worked and worked, and you know, I had to do the whole deal, the whole, you know, muscle memory, memorize this, know where to have my hand, both hands at, you know, the right timing, and because if you don't do it there, then you're not going to get over here, you know. And work at it, get frustrated, you know, and leave, put it down for a little bit, come back to it, you know. And, you know, anything that you do that requires an effort, it can get frustrating, can't it? I mean, you can get burnt out with things sometimes. But you don't give up. You just keep going back, and then you know, after a while, you work through that phrase or one phrase, and you got it. You know, okay. Just, you know, little by little. And excuse me. So I worked at this, and I got pretty good at it, you know. Okay, all right. Excuse me. And you know what? I think this is going to work out. You know, I kept practicing, got where I could play the whole thing without making a mistake. All right. I got a little recorder. You put on a recorder. You know, when you're by yourself and you're practicing, you can do pretty good, can't you? Get in front of people or a recorder, it's a whole different world, I guarantee you. It's like, I thought I was over stage fright, or, you know, in front of people, that kind of thing. No, but it's good for you too. I mean, if you're trying to work something out like that. So I got pretty good at this and everything, and I said, all right, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about this, you know, and thank God, you know, I don't think I was proud or anything like that, because, you know, when you put that much effort into something like that, it's hard to, it's quite humbling to, you know, realize what it took to get there, in other words. So, I'm got to this point and feeling good about that. So, one night I said, you know, I'm going to look up on the YouTube thing and check out the guy that wrote the song, and found him on a thing. He was playing this song, and you know, I heard him play that, and I thought, you know, oh my God, even though I played every note right, it still wasn't there. I still didn't have it. Because I heard the master and the author of that song. I heard him play it. And I didn't have it yet. And, you know, sometimes that's where our lives are, aren't they? We come to church and sometimes we get frustrated in our walk with God because we can't seemingly accomplish what we thought we should be able to. But you know, God does things in His own time, doesn't He? He's the potter, we're just the clay. And so, but at the same time, we don't give up, do we? We still put forth effort. And even though, you know, we may fall, we get back up. And we keep going. And believing in God. And in this experience that I had, I realize that as much as we have heard in this church and all the great ministers that we have heard and that are here and have come by, and much as we have studied individually, and we think we've got it right, you know, we crossed all our T's and dotted all our I's and the Word of God even. But there's that part that the Master, Jesus our Lord, when He speaks, we realize we weren't quite there. Now that sounds kind of surreal, doesn't it, a little bit? But there's a good part about this. When I heard that song, when I heard the man that wrote Arthur that song play, you know, I didn't get frustrated. I heard what he was doing. And I realized I wasn't that far away. I come to the point of no return. I seen that it wasn't that far away. And I think that if we'll lift up our hands and lift up Christ in our hearts, we'll realize that we're really not that far away. We just need to have ears to hear the Master, eyes to see, because we're not that far away. What's that song? Heaven is not so far away. But thank God that He gives us these thoughts in our minds. You know, if I walked into counsel of the ungodly, that little scenario I just had, it wouldn't mean anything, would it? It wouldn't have mean nothing. But I treasured that because I seen how that parallel with my walk with God. And I treasured that message that I got out of that. And I believe I'll be able to play that song. And at the end, I believe I'll be singing the song of Moses and the Lamb too. I'm thankful to be here.
Not so far away when we sing and shout and
scorn. Webster's dictionary means contempt or disdain felt toward a person or an object considered despicable or unworthy. Why'd I be feeling that way about my brothers and sisters or God? Have that kind of feeling. I can see why God wouldn't like that. So there you go. You don't want that, do you? And to be scornful must be full of scorn, derisive, or contemptuous. In God's court. It's good to be back tonight and hear the testimonies people had, brother. Paul's, Thompson's words there about, no, you're that close to singing the song. So, we're not going to have, Dad told me to announce, dinner day this Sunday because, if I got this message right, we'd have to thaw out some meat. And if weather messed us up, then we'd have to, that meat wouldn't last till the next, wouldn't last. So, we just won't worry about dinner day this week. And we're just going to have to see what the weather does about church altogether. All that'll be put on Facebook. But you may get the word out on dinner day to people that you're talking to. You talk to people in church and stuff. And so, we'll be informing everybody about services this Sunday. I'm sure, if the weather moves in, like to say, everybody's going to want to pins and needles what we're going to be doing. So, but in the meantime, it's 65 degrees outside. You go outside and enjoy the weather tonight, and for now, and yeah. So, would you want to stand and give the Lord a praise before you go home tonight? And we'll go home tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for tonight. Good words, good testimony. Being together, singing praises to you, O God. We are so thankful. Keep your hand on us this weekend. Keep your hand on each one. We go home tonight, Lord. Remember all these needs that we brought up before. Hopefully we'll see you Sunday, but if not, we'll see you next Wednesday.